Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Let's go for a spin all the way to South Africa. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. Today is May 3rd, 2013. This is Bill Quinn, and we are talking about riding bicycles. And we've got a lifestyle article that you can find on pages 12 and 13 in your Advanced magazine. The title is Bicycle Portraits, and it's a really interesting article. I really like this article for a couple of reasons. It's like a cultural study into, a lot of people have heard of South Africa. A lot of people don't really know a lot about South Africa. And this is a very interesting study of the culture there. And I also like it because I also bicycle a lot. I'm a lot like these people that we talk about in this article. So I'm more of a kind of like a commuting bicycler or just somebody that has a not too fancy bicycle, so I can relate to these people. Amanda Jongpeer, can you relate to these folks?
I can. And in my time, I have also been a commuter on my bicycle, mainly when I was in high school. I would go to school by bicycle, and I really enjoyed it. But I also used to bike a little bit for sports as well. Mm. So I enjoyed cycling a lot.
You used to ride your bicycle to school?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah.
How far?
Just a few kilometers, maybe about 3 kilometers.
Okay. So, not bad.
Not bad.
Yeah.
And then just after school, because I lived in a more rural area, I would go cycling for quite a way. Yeah.
Okay. Great.
A few more than 3 kilometers.
Certainly. Yeah. We think more of when you do something like that, not so much in the distance, but time.
Yes.
I'm going to go for an hour or 2 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't even keep track of the distance
a lot
of times.
Just enjoy the environment.
Yeah. Yeah. Elizabeth Sunshine is also here. Hi.
Hi.
Great to have you.
It's good to be here. I don't have that much experience with commuting on a bicycle, but I do enjoy riding my bike when I have time.
Yeah. Now, first, I want to tell our listeners that Elizabeth did edit this article, so she's very familiar with it. And most of the time, you're working on Studio Classroom magazine, right?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
But I enjoy editing advanced articles now and then, and I thought this one was very interesting.
Yeah. Now, when you say you do bicycle when you have a chance, what do you do when you, just ride around town on the weekends or something?
Yes, there's a large park by the river that's close to my house. So usually I will go and ride along the riverbank for maybe an hour. So go out for half an hour and then come back for half an hour, something like that.
Yeah, it is a great place to go riding. I know what you're talking about. And it's nice. You get away from a lot of the traffic, at least.
Yes.
There's no buses down there by the river.
Yes. So. Actually, I think that's one thing that stops me from trying to go places on my bike is I'm a little bit nervous about riding with all the traffic around.
That's what makes it so exciting and fun. Yeah, I'll ride in the evenings after work and on the weekends. It's my main mode of transportation here in Taipei, so on my off time. And I actually do ride around in downtown Taipei. And what I like to do is we'll try to go down the alleys, the back streets, just to get away off of the main roads. So, riding on Nanjing Dunlu is not the best idea in the world. So I do try and get off those main roads. And what it enables me to do is see things. That's what I really like.
Yeah.
I see things. I see things that I normally wouldn't see. So, and it gets me around. Yeah.
I think down the back alleys, like you said, there is a lot of life going on. You know, there may be markets, you know, little stores, you know, just people sitting outside even watching life go by. And you get to see all that when you go down these alleys.
Yeah. So that's what I like about it. So you get a real feel for the city then instead of just being in a taxi or a bus or even in a car then. And time-wise, it's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
I can get places almost as quickly as if I was in a bus.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, certainly. Okay, well, listeners, let's do this. Let's get into our reading. Turn to page 12, and our first reading will be that left column and then the right column down to line 14.
Bicycle portraits. Two authors show South Africa's cyclists finding their paths. When Mickey Mamp needs to charge her cell phone, she jumps on her bicycle and rides 25 miles in the dry, shimmering heat from her non-electrified home on a deserted farm road. Mamp, whose children are grown, is a rare figure in the rural Northern Cape region, the only woman with a bike in her remote village. The men in town tease her, but she ignores them and figures she has little choice because she prefers cycling to riding in a bumpy horse cart. "You don't struggle. You just get on," Mamp told a pair of authors. "You just ride, and if it gets a puncture, you patch it, and then you can go." The authors are animator Nick Grobler and photographer Stan Engelbrecht, who wanted to find out why so few people ride bikes in a country that has so much poverty, often unwalkable commuter distances, and poor public transportation. What they found, after about 4,000 miles of cycling, 500 interviews, and countless punctures, was that South African bicyclists are like those in many nations without a strong bike commuting culture. Fearless, adventurous, thick-skinned, and, often, more than a little eccentric.
Bicycle portraits. And what does our deck say, Amanda?
It says two authors show South Africa's cyclists finding their paths.
All right. So here we are. We're going to be in South Africa, and we're going to be taking a look at the work of two authors. A couple guys wrote a book about bicyclists in South Africa. How do we start, Elizabeth?
It starts off by talking about a person. It says, when Mickey Mamp needs to charge her cell phone, she jumps on her bike and rides 25 miles in the dry, shimmering heat from her non-electrified home on a deserted farm road.
Now, when you charge your cell phone, what do you normally do?
I just plug it into the socket in the wall.
Yeah. Amanda?
I do exactly the same. Or my computer.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Simple thing. We kind of take for granted that that is what we do, right? Mm-hmm. We just plug it in because we have this electricity here. But Mickey Mamp is dealing with no electricity. So just to charge her cell phone, that's hard to believe.
Yeah.
She has to go get on her bike and ride 25 miles or approximately 40 kilometers in the dry, we say, shimmering heat. What do we mean, shimmering heat?
Well, shimmering means shiny, or it's letting off light. So to me, that sounds like perhaps there may be water evaporating in the air, and that creates this kind of shiny look in the air.
Yeah. In fact, we normally don't think of hot or cold as something we can see. But actually, shimmering heat, the hot air, is something you actually can almost see waves of it.
Yeah.
That's so hot, you can actually visualize this. So the shimmering heat from her non-electrified home, so she does not have electricity. And where is it?
On a deserted farm road. So she lives very far out, maybe possibly what we would consider in the middle of nowhere.
And nobody's really out near her. It's not like the bunch of homes are out near her. It's deserted. So, and we read a little bit more then as we start the next paragraph about Mickey.
Right. We learn that Mamp, whose children are grown, which means that they are now adults, she is a rare figure in the rural Northern Cape region. So when somebody is rare, that means it's not very common. Now here, using the word figure means a person. So she's a rare person in this countryside place called the Northern Cape region.
And why is she rare?
Well, it says that she's the only woman with a bike in her remote village. So that sounds to me like maybe the men have bikes, but the women don't usually ride them.
Yeah. Mm. Speaking of the men, what do they think about this?
Well, it says the men in town tease her, so they probably think it's kind of funny and strange that she's on a bike.
Yeah. So when they see her, they probably do maybe make some fun of her, maybe say some jokes. My guess is it's probably not too mean. They're just maybe just having some fun with her if they tease her as she rides by. Doesn't bother her, though, right?
No, she ignores them, and she figures that she has little choice. So she believes that she doesn't really have a choice in how they react to her because she prefers cycling to riding in a bumpy horse cart. So she prefers riding her bicycle to being in a rough horse cart, which is another way to get around town.
Oh, my goodness. That would be awful. Yeah, she doesn't have much choice. She has little choice, few options. And I would prefer riding a bike to a bumpy horse cart also.
Sometimes I prefer riding a bicycle to being on a bumpy bus.
Yeah, yeah, because the bus is crowded. And it can be the air is not so good inside, and there's so many people. And the other thing is you don't have control of your situation. I do like being on a bicycle. At least I can come and go, stop when I want to, go where I want to. So
yeah, I think that's one of the big advantages of a bike is if the place that you want to go is not right next to a bus stop, then you'll get off the bus and you'll still have to walk or maybe even change to another bus. With a bike, you can just go straight there.
Yeah, yeah. And I make so many turns, spur of the moment, just at the last second. It's so that's why I really like being on my bike. So, I want to go here. Go there. I'll go here. Okay. What does Mickey Mamp say about this bicycling experience?
She says, you don't struggle. You just get on. So it seems to me like she doesn't think this is a difficulty. It's just what she does, and it's a regular part of her life.
Okay. Now, this you just get on part here, she doesn't mean actually getting on sitting on the bike, right? What does she mean with that?
No, she means you just get on with actually riding somewhere. So to get on with the job or get on with doing something.
Yeah. So in this, it's kind of almost idiomatic way of saying something. Okay, just do it, right? I think it's in some ways, I've heard it more in European language. Just get on with it.
Yeah.
That means just, okay, move forward, keep, you know, like get the thing done. And that's what Mamp told a pair of authors. And she continues by saying,
she says, you just ride, and if it gets a puncture, you patch it, and then you can go. So, once again, she's just getting on. She's just deciding to ride her bike. And if it gets a puncture, that means if there's a hole in it, then you just fix the hole and then you go.
Yeah.
So don't worry about the problems. Just deal with it and keep doing what you want to do.
Okay. You might run across some glass or nail or a piece of metal or something, cause a puncture, a hole in your tire. And then you patch it, you fix it, and you go on. Now, who are these authors?
Well, we first learn of one author, and he is an animator. His name is Nick Grober. And then the other author is a photographer, and his name is Stan Engelbrecht.
Okay, so we've got Nick Grober and Stan Engelbrecht, and they actually are both, I believe they are both South African residents, because you had hooked me up with a video on YouTube, right, Amanda?
Yes. Yeah, they both are very South African, and they come from this area. I just encourage readers, if you do, continue to do a little bit of research after this article and look online.
Yeah, that was a video of a TED Talk that they gave, and it was really interesting. They gave some background on their information and their research. So, all right, these two young men, why did they do this?
Well, they wanted to find out why so few people ride bikes in South Africa. It says the country has a lot of poverty, so maybe people can't afford cars. Its commuter distances are unwalkable, and the public transportation is not good.
Yeah. All right. This is the reason I said at the top of the program we're going to take a look at what's going on in South Africa with bicyclists and why we hear about it. People who are familiar with the name, but we don't really know about it. And it's almost, there's there's a dichotomy there. It means there's two different things going on. And on one hand, we might be familiar with the beautiful pictures from Cape Town, and we might see pictures of some cities that look modern. And, of course, there was the World Cup of football a couple years ago. And, you know, it looked great because there's all these beautiful stadiums, big, beautiful stadiums, and it looked very modern. However, the reality for 90% of the people living in South Africa is very harsh. Mm-hmm. It is very harsh, and there is a lot of poverty, and it's a rough life. Mm-hmm. Outside of the cities, it is a rough life, and there's just not a lot of stuff there for people. Now, we see also unwalkable commuter distances. What do we mean by that, Amanda?
It means that, well, unwalkable means that you're unable to walk that distance. Here, commuter means just a daily traveler, usually a person going to and from work.
Right.
And so it means that the distance you would take to go to work is so large that you would probably not be able to walk it.
Yeah, you're not going to think of, you know, to put it in perspective, you're not going to think of walking from Taipei to Taoyuan.
Right.
So it's just unthinkable that anybody would walk to work that far. So on a bicycle, if it's flat, might be doable.
Yes.
It's going to be a lot of work, but you could do it.
Yeah.
And when we say poor public transportation, again, we take it for granted here being in some of these big cities in Asia that have great metro rail systems and buses going everywhere. Mm-hmm. They don't have that.
Yeah, from what it said before, it sounds like their public transportation has a lot of bumpy horse carts and other things.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. How they define public transportation is very different from what we might define it as. Now, what did the writers find?
Well, they found after about 4,000 miles of cycling and 500 interviews and countless punctures was that South African bicyclists are like those in many nations without a strong bike commuting culture. They are fearless, adventurous, thick-skinned, and often more than a little eccentric.
Okay. Now, first off, let's go up to, the 4,000 miles of cycling, 500 interviews, countless punctures.
That's right. Well, 4,000 miles, just for those of you that are not used to miles like myself, that is 6,437 kilometers. That is a lot of distance.
Okay. 500 interviews. They actually did just interview people, some of the people you see pictured there. Just everyday people coming and going.
They actually even would have to chase them down. I think in the interview on the TED Talk, they mentioned how they saw one guy and they saw him straight away. They wanted to interview him, but the authors took about 7 kilometers to just chase him down to be able to interview and talk to him.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. They actually went out looking for these people. Right. They just bicycled around the country. And whenever they did see another cyclist, they actually would just then go up to them and say, "Yeah, we want to talk to you." And
yeah.
Even me, it would take me a few minutes to get comfortable with this. I'd be like, "What are you guys? Why are you following me?
Right?
Are you
trying to rob me?
Yeah, what do you want?" Right. And countless punctures, or too many that they can remember. So these guys were constantly fixing their tires, and they found out that these cyclists in South Africa are like those in many nations, very similar to people elsewhere, who lack a strong bike community culture. So it's worldwide in places that don't have biking communities. It's the same thing. They run into the same problems, and those are? Characteristics let me make that.
Yes. It says they're fearless, they're adventurous, they're thick-skinned, and they may be a bit eccentric, too.
Mm. Thick-skinned.
Yes, that means that they aren't hurt if someone criticizes them. Mm. Because since these countries don't have a strong bike commuting culture, then it's likely that when people hear that they bike to work, they think it's a little bit strange.
Yeah.
And they might be a little bit critical or say things that could hurt someone's feelings, but these people don't care.
Yeah, a good example of that is Mickey Mapp, who just, you know, the guys are sitting there teasing her as she rides by, and she just ignores them.
Yeah.
She's thick-skinned. She doesn't care what anybody says. Mm-hmm. She's got her thing to do. Mm-hmm. And Mickey might even be a little bit eccentric, yes?
Yes, and eccentric means to be strange or unusual. And then we see it sometimes in an amusing way or a little peculiar. Oftentimes, they're a little different, maybe in the way that they dress or do something. But they are people think they're cute and are drawn to them.
I might be eccentric sometimes when I ride my bicycle. One of the things I do, and I'm very much like the other people in Taipei, is that if it is raining slightly, I will ride along and hold an umbrella up with one hand, and I'll hold the handlebar with the other hand. And I look like very much like a Taipei resident with my umbrella as I ride my bicycle. So it's kind of funny. So,
you need to get a photo of that, I think.
Yeah. But I always wear a helmet. And I want to tell our listeners, make sure you always have a helmet on if you bicycle. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of people in town without helmets. Mm-hmm. Big mistake. Mm-hmm. Make sure you always wear a helmet. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's have our second reading for today.
A Quiet Joy. Grobler and Engelbrecht also reaffirmed their belief that bicycles could change the lives of threadbare South Africans like Mamp, especially in rural areas. The cyclists they met often expressed a quiet joy that they could go where they liked, whenever they wanted to, while others were anchored in their villages and townships. We both believe that bicycles could really empower people in South Africa, where so many people rely on poor public transport infrastructure, Engelbrecht said. People have to travel great distances to work. People really struggle with movement here.
Okay, a quiet joy is how we begin this section. And we hear more from the writers.
Yes, it says they reaffirmed their belief that bicycles could change the lives of threadbare South Africans.
Okay. Now, first, reaffirmed.
When you see that prefix, it means again. So, and affirm means to say that something is true or good. So, they're saying once again, so they've probably said this before, that bicycles can change people's lives there.
Yeah. Okay. And then we see threadbare.
Yeah, threadbare means another way to say maybe poor or not having a lot of money. It means that you're so poor that you can't buy new clothing, and the clothing that you are wearing becomes so thin that you can see holes in just the thread.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Maybe threadbare might be an example. That picture there on page 13 of the guy that is holding the bike frame up, you can see his knees. He's got holes in his pants there. His clothes look a little threadbare.
I'm sorry, Bill, but that's fashion now.
Oh, that's fashion. Okay. All right, I'll have to get all my threadbare pants out, and then I'll be cool. All right. Now, what about the cyclists they met, Elizabeth?
It says the cyclists they met expressed a quiet joy that they could go wherever they liked, whenever they wanted to. So it sounds like they feel really free by cycling and very happy that they have this opportunity.
I can identify with that. Yeah, I told you about making turns, going here, going there. Actually, a lot of times I head out, it's directionless. Mm. I don't have much of a plan. I just kind of like, I'll go that way. Mm. And then it just, you know, I just go wherever I want to go. So, and they also then give a comparison then of why this freedom is so joyful.
Well, we see that others were anchored in their villages and townships. Anchored meaning held there or restrained in the villages and towns. Because we mentioned earlier, you know, they live quite far away from other places.
Mm-hmm.
It's not walkable and they don't have a very good public transport system. So if you don't have a bicycle, then really you are just confined to being in your village or town.
Yeah, you're like a boat with an anchor that's stuck on the bottom of the seafloor. You can't move.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Now, go up to the top of that left column on page 13, and we hear from Stan Engelbrecht.
He says, "We both believe that bicycles could really empower people in South Africa, where so many people rely on poor public transport infrastructure."
Okay. Now, first, we see empower.
Yes, empower means to give someone power or give someone the ability to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes companies will talk about empowering their employees. That means helping them to make their own decisions and take charge of their jobs.
Yeah.
Here it means giving people the ability to travel and to move on their own without relying on public transportation.
Yeah, which doesn't really exist because of the poor public transport infrastructure.
That's right. And infrastructure is in our specialized terms. And it's the structure or organizational system that is necessary for things like public water, your energy, your electricity, the telephone, communication lines, and transportation to work within a city or a town.
And Stan Engelbrecht continues by saying why this lack of infrastructure is such a problem.
People have to travel great distances to work, and people really struggle with movement here. So like we mentioned earlier, you know, unwalkable commuter distances.
Yeah, we take it for granted a lot of things. I mentioned earlier, like public transportation, subways, mass transit, the systems, buses. But even things like even going farther out, highways, good roads is lacking in many parts of – you just don't have them in many parts of the world. We just get on a highway, all right? Mm-hmm. And I want to go from Taipei to Tainan. Well, I can just drive.
Right.
If I don't take the train. So, and we just take that for granted. That really doesn't exist in many parts of the world. So it's very difficult, and that's why people do struggle with movement. Mm-hmm. So it's something that, we're looking at and why bicycles are so important to these people. Now, let me ask you something. I'm thinking of work.
Mm-hmm.
And now, would you ride a bicycle to work if you had to go 10 kilometers?
If I didn't have other options, then yes. But if I had other options, like a car, then I would take the car, unless I was training for mountain biking or something fun like that, yeah.
Yes, I think I agree with Amanda that it depends on the other options. Like if you have a car, that is certainly easier, or even if there's a subway that goes directly there. But I think biking is good exercise, and like Amanda said, if you're training for something and you want the exercise, then it's good.
I would ride a bicycle to work in the morning if it was safe. Now, I did mention I ride around the city here and after hours on the weekends. It's a little bit more manageable. The reason I say is that at 7:45 in the morning, it is insane. And there are cars and motorcycles flying around. And it just – I've looked at the possibility and I'm like, no way.
Actually, you remind me, Bill, one time I did try that. 8 a.m. in the morning, I tried to bike around the city. And just even the fumes from the cars was just too overpowering to continue.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of continuing, we will continue with this article tomorrow. Come on back, everybody. We'll see you then.